Hi there, I'm your host today, Eric, and welcome back to Two Scarves Gaming. Today will be the first episode of a mini-series that we're starting, and we're going to be talking about just small things in gaming that make the larger experience more fun, and we're calling it Achievement Get. So thank you for listening in and enjoy this short mini-series right after a word from our sponsor. So it's the turn of the decade. The 2010s have come and gone, and now it's 2020. Over the 2010s, the Souls-like genre has dominated the games market, with tons of games taking inspiration from Souls-likes like Demon's Souls and Dark Souls and Bloodborne. And one of From Software's most recent games, Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, another Souls-like, was just named Game of the Year at the Game of the Year Awards. And a lot of people with, you know, the turn of the decade and everything are saying that Souls-likes have become archaic, you know, have become irrelevant, and that we don't really need them anymore. Now, I personally don't think that this is true. I've always loved the Souls-like, you know, archetype, and I've always loved the Souls franchise. And I say Souls franchise very largely, vaguely, I guess. I mean, I loved Demon's Souls, I loved Dark Souls, I loved Bloodborne, and I really, really, really love Sekiro. It's really amazing. And I think the biggest thing about my enjoyment of those games was that, you know, they were just great games, period. I think that a lot of people think that we don't really need a Souls-like anymore because of all of the more, you know, recent and better, you could say, games on the market. Stuff like, I don't even know. Fortnite's not that good, and it wasn't even on the list, the nominations for Game of the Year. But stuff like Uncharted, stuff like Overwatch, you know, those are all pretty old. But what I'm saying is that Dark Souls should not become irrelevant just because it's been a long time since it was first released. Now, if you don't know much about Dark Souls, I can tell you that it is a game franchise pioneered by From Software, and it's known for being ridiculously hard and being just super, super challenging. Its story is told very subtly, and you can play the game without ever picking up any hints of the story. And so I guess you're wondering, you know, why would people want to play this game? There's literally no story and it's super hard. It sounds like you're just putting yourself through pain. And the reason for that is that feeling of achievement, that magical feeling of, you know, accomplishment when you beat a hard boss, when you get past a hard area, and the magical feeling of learning, of discovering things in the plot that you never would have figured out otherwise. I mean, one of the best examples, I think, is in Dark Souls 1, where you, the Soul of Cinder, are sent on a quest to kill four Lords of Cinder in order to light the fire. And you don't know this from the get-go. You know that you're just sort of like an undead being, I guess, that wakes up in a jail cell, and then your adventure begins. Now, this is just, like, so mundane. It's not really anything that you could gather plot from, but as you progress through the game and as you get to the end, you start to piece all of these tiny things apart, tiny things together that you picked up on your journey through, you know, Dark Souls. And I think that's just something that's really cool. Now, a lot of people say we don't need a Dark Souls. Why? Because gamers are, you know, becoming less, they want less challenge, I guess. But I think that that's an unfair assumption to make of a massive gaming community that has different interests and different likes and different, you know, hates. And I think that Dark Souls has a place in this pantheon of games that 2020 is going to give us. Now, we haven't gotten any, you know, super exciting releases yet. I mean, what have we gotten? We've gotten Temtem, which is like a Pokemon MMORPG, but that's irrelevant at the moment. Dark Souls, though, if the franchise, you know, dies, which it isn't, there's a new game called Elden Ring coming out that further builds upon the Souls-like genre. You know, if the Souls-like genre dies, you know, what happens to those gamers that want a challenge, that want something, you know, hard, something that they have to work to get? We see this sort of, like, easy gaming mentality in games like Pokemon, Sword and Shield, where the entire game is super easy. I mean, sure, don't hate me for this, but I love Pokemon Sword and Shield. It's an amazing game, and it's absolutely bonkers. I was pretty hesitant about it because of, you know, Game Freak removing a Pokemon from the Pokédex and all, and the National Dex not being in the game, but I loved Pokemon Sword and Shield, and it was an unexpected surprise, to be honest. But the biggest thing was that it was easy. I finished the game in, like, a week, and it was just super not challenging, and I don't really have the motivation to return to the game, because after clearing it so fast, I don't really feel like there's anything left for me to do in the game. Nothing that'll pose a challenge, nothing that I have to, you know, strive to, you know, get past, a barrier that I have to get past. And, you know, in other games, sort of like, I guess, I don't know, Hollow Knight, I guess, a build on the Souls-like genre, Hollow Knight has me coming back again and again. None of its bosses are easy. None of its bosses are pushovers. The third boss, you die tens, twenties, hundreds of times to, but you keep coming back to challenge her. And the feeling of achievement that you get when you finally beat that boss, when you finally beat that monster, when you finally make it to the next bench, you know, in Hollow Knight, that's an amazing feeling. This feeling is further amplified by the achievements that you get in the game. I mean, every time you beat a boss in Hollow Knight, you get an achievement, and, you know, you can use those to show off to other people. I think that's something really cool that Souls-likes bring to the table, you know? When you beat something in a Souls-like, it wasn't easy. It wasn't, you know, a pushover, and you probably died multiple times trying to beat that boss. Then, after you beat it, you get to show off to everyone else, and I think that's just such a great feeling and such a great accomplishment that games shouldn't lose. Now, back to my Pokemon comparison. I get that Pokemon was designed for a younger audience. It was sort of tailored towards a, I guess, 5 to 10-year-old audience, I suppose. I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure. But I remember when Pokemon was really challenging. Well, not really challenging, but more challenging than Sword and Shield. My favorite Pokemon game is Pokemon Black and White. And for those of you who don't know, Pokemon Black and White was the last game, was the last Pokemon game that was still 2D. After Black and White, it all became three-dimensional on the 3DS and stuff, Pokemon X and Y, Pokemon Oris, stuff like that. But Pokemon Black and White was my first Pokemon game. And after beating that game, I wanted to do it all over again. I was like, oh my gosh, I got beat up by gym leaders, I got beat up by the Elite Four. Any of you who chose Oshawott and had to fight Alisa, that was a pain in the butt, and it was horrible. But, you know, after you beat the gym leaders, after you beat the Elite Four, you were like, my gosh, I've done it. Let me do that again. Let me keep going. Let me keep, you know, striving to overcome the next gym leader. And I just think that that's something that, you know, modern games, I say modern, but like games that are, you know, easy and tailored to a younger audience, that's just something that they're not capturing. But back to the Souls-like. A Souls-like, in essence, is like, I don't know. A Souls-like? I don't know. A Souls-like is, in essence, something that's really hard, something that's really, you know, challenging and tough for you to beat. It's something that tells its story in a minimalistic way. It's something that you don't you know, always beat on the first time. In fact, in a Souls-like, you rarely beat things on the first try. And I know I've been emphasizing the difficulty of a Souls-like a lot, but that's really what makes the Souls-like genre so important to gaming. It presents a challenge for gamers who want a challenge. And I know the community surrounding the Dark Souls community right now, I know the vibe surrounding the Dark Souls community right now is not the best. You know, there's lots of memes about get good if you can't beat a boss, and, you know, not a lot of real support is provided to newer players who don't know how to play the game, but that's objectively untrue. The community is thriving. There are tons of people who would go out of their way to help a noob play through Dark Souls. I mean, just take it from me. When I first picked up Dark Souls 3, which was my first Souls game, and then I picked up Dark Souls 1, 2, and then Demon's Souls. When I first picked up Dark Souls 3, my friend helped me through it. I had no idea what I was doing. To the first boss alone, I died, like, I don't know, 50, 60 times? It was horrible. But my friend helped me through the game. And I think that when Dark Souls, when you have a game that presents a challenge to people, people naturally come together in order to overcome said obstacle. And I think that's just really cool. Now, another argument that people have for Souls-likes being irrelevant in 2020 and so on is that we've just had way too many. If you haven't picked up the gist yet, lots of people like to copy Dark Souls, or not copy Dark Souls, but take inspiration from the mechanics that make Dark Souls, Dark Souls. We had stuff like The Surge and The Surge 2, which was sort of like a technological cyberpunk take on Dark Souls's, you know, super challenging mechanics. And then we had stuff like Hollow Knight, which was like Bug Souls. You know, you're a bug and you fight things and it's horribly hard. And it's all about exploration. And, you know, there are tons of other examples that I can quote. There are, like, way too many. But, you know, if the Souls-like genre has inspired so many games, so many creations from developers, doesn't that mean it's a good thing? Doesn't that mean that it's something to be immortalized? Doesn't that mean that it's something that, you know, will capture the hearts of millions again? If there are so many people willing to pour their time and effort and money into making a game that is inspired by Dark Souls and sort of emulates its gameplay, who's to say that there won't be more? You know, who's to say that there won't be more games, there won't be more creations, there won't be more From Software games, Souls games, that, you know, draw from the same pot? It's just unbelievable how many games and how many things were influenced by the creation of Dark Souls. Now, there are a lot of Dark Souls games, there are a lot of Dark Souls games and there's a lot of Souls-like games. And those two things are, I guess, sort of different, but not very different. When you boot up a Dark Souls game, you expect, you know, something amazing. You expect something brutally challenging. You expect it to kick your butt a few times before you get the hang of it. And you expect the world to be beautiful. You expect the storytelling to be mundane. You know, you expect all of these things. And Dark Souls so far has delivered in every single game that vibe that, you know, Dark Souls carries now. Souls-likes, though, you're never too sure what you're getting into. I picked up Hollow Knight a couple of months ago, actually, and I wasn't ready for Hollow Knight. I was like, wait a minute, A, why is it 2D and a platformer, and B, why can't I parry? If you don't know, parrying is a, I guess, staple trademark mechanic of a Souls-like game. And it was just like, whoa, that's insane. But slowly I fell in love with Hollow Knight. And, you know, Hollow Knight, that's a topic for another episode, but I really love Hollow Knight. I mean, if we just look at the player base for, you know, Hollow Knight, if we look at the player base for The Surge, if we look at the player base for literally just even just Dark Souls 3 or Bloodborne or Sekiro, you know, it's huge, it's amazing, and it's still thriving. even though the games are pretty old at this point. Now, the Dark Souls series has stood by its great formula of being challenging, its way of storytelling, and how it does not, it is relentless. It does not, you know, forgive you for your mistakes. The most recent example of this is actually Star Wars, the new Star Wars game by EA. I forgot what it was called, like the Jedi Order? I forgot. The Last Jedi? I don't know, something like that. But the new Star Wars game by EA is a new single-player take on Star Wars, and it is heavily inspired by Dark Souls. It is definitely part of the Souls-like genre. It flew off the shelves. Its reception was amazing. A score of like, I don't know, I forgot, something, 90-something on Metacritic. And critics were like, just, you know, oh my gosh, how did EA make this? EA has like a sort of stigma running against them for a long time because of loot crates and stuff like that, and especially their mistakes with Battlefront and Battlefront 2. But this new game was insane. This new game was like, whoa, what is this? This is amazing. And it introduced a whole bunch of people to the Souls-like genre who otherwise never wouldn't have been exposed to it if it weren't, you know, Star Wars related or sci-fi related or anything like that, you know? It introduced a whole bunch of people to gaming, much like Breath of the Wild introduced a whole bunch of people to, you know, gaming on the Switch. Or, I guess, Left 4 Dead, Portal introduced a whole bunch of people to the Valve franchise of games, I guess. This Jedi, The Last Order, I forgot, introduced a whole bunch of people to the Souls-like genre. If they hadn't heard of Dark Souls before, they sure as hell have heard of it now. And I think that's just super cool how one game franchise, one archetype of game, has now become so important, so renowned around, I guess, the world, that there are now games that are, I guess, introducing people to the Souls-like. It's so old and so renowned that it's now creating, you know, landmarks of its own. And Souls-like has been a thing for a long time, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, the Souls-like genre has exploded, what with, you know, Hollow Knight and the new Star Wars game and The Surge 2. And I think that's just super cool. Back to my case about, you know, Dark Souls and Souls-likes in just 2020 onwards. I think that they should exist. I don't know. If you guys still haven't gotten the gist from, I guess, what's been said so far, I definitely think that Dark Souls and Souls-like games have a place in a new pantheon of games, per se. I mean, you had Fire Emblem Three Houses, which was revolutionary. You had Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which was also revolutionary. You had, let's see, what else did we have this year? You had, obviously, the Star Wars game that I've been talking about. Gosh, what else was there? I don't know. I forget. But in, like, the great list of great games, that which includes stuff like Left 4 Dead 2, TF2, Counter-Strike, you know, Tomb Raider, GTA, I don't know, stuff like that. You guys get the gist. Call of Duty. I mean, Battlefield. I think that Dark Souls belongs in that, I guess, pantheon of games. And you don't see people complaining like, oh gosh, another Call of Duty game. No, Call of Duty still flies off the shelves year after year because people enjoyed the franchise. So, you know, why can't we say, oh, Call of Duty is, you know, a dead game this decade, we should stop mentioning it? We don't, because Call of Duty is good. Personally, I don't think it's very good, but to others, it's, you know, great. It's something that they can have fun with. And for me, Dark Souls is that game. Dark Souls is that game that I can have fun with. Dark Souls is the game that challenges me to overcome obstacles that I never would have otherwise. And it challenges me to keep, you know, going no matter what. And I think that's just really cool. And That's why, you know, Souls-likes should be maintained. They should be preserved. They should be looked up to as an example for future game developers. And, you know, with 2020 and games in this decade, there are going to be, you know, technological revolutions. There are going to be more games in VR. There are going to be more immersive, more, you know, intense games that really capture people's hearts and minds. And with what Dark Souls is doing in its new game, Elden Ring, which isn't out yet, but it looks amazing. With Elden Ring, that looks like, you know, something that belongs in the new, I guess, pantheon of games of this decade. And I think that's just what a Souls-like should be treated as in this up-and-coming decade. It's not something that's going to die. It's not something that is dead already. It is something that is thriving with a community that is thriving, and it's something that people have long loved and hated, you know, which is enough to put it up there. So, yeah, that's Dark Souls and Souls-likes. We'll be having an episode talking about, you know, story in Dark Souls and definitely stuff about Hollow Knight. But if you liked this episode, please share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your dog, share it with your cat. Every little bit helps. You can follow us on Spotify. We are also on Google Podcasts. We're also on Outcast. We're on a lot. You can find us at Two Scarves Gaming anywhere. That's our handle. That's our moniker. So yeah, definitely play Dark Souls. Dark Souls isn't a dead franchise. It's only going to get better and better and better. And as games evolve and as people grow older, Dark Souls is a franchise that's going to survive and become immortalized in the halls of great games. Thank you for listening to this episode of Achievement Get, our new miniseries. We're Two Scarves Gaming. My name is Eric. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.